come near to God, and God will come near to you. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For the Spirit says, come. Let those that are thirsty come and drink freely of the water of life. Let's now order ourselves in God's presence in a special way. This is a sacred moment. This is holy time. We are in God's place and in God's presence now. Just stop in your soul and sense that. Yes. Come near to God, we come. Each and every one here, whatever your age may be, your circumstances, your health, your finances, they are just you, an individual before the Lord now. What concerns you? Give it to the Lord now. What are your worries? What are your fears? What is not working out in life for you? What bothers you? Are you hurting? Suffering? Yeah, what's the stuff of your life? The Lord invites you to bring it all to Him now. Would you do it? Come to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is it. This is bothering me. This is hurting me. This is crushing me. I can't get this out of my mind. I can't get over this hurdle in life. This thing scares me. Lord, we come. So just reach out now and lay hold of the Lord. Yes, you could do it in faith and receive your blessing. Receive forgiveness. Receive God's mercy. Receive God's love. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. To bless us this day. And let us pray for others as we pray for ourselves. You can name individuals in your heart. We ask to pray for a family that is dealing with serious health issues. The Lord knows them, the Lord knows their need, the Lord sees them now. Gracious God, be merciful. We pray for those suffering and those who care for them, for grace and patience and wisdom for health givers and those who care for those suffering. Lord, we offer this prayer. We pray for the family and friends of Ashley Wood, a time of bereavement and loss. Pray for their comfort. We all know what it is to suffer loss like this. May they draw near to the Lord and know that the Lord will draw near to them. The Lord is with us today. Let us open our hearts to receive. In the name of the one who taught us in our praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Majesty, worship his majesty. Friends, if we continue, we're going to finally get good spiritual vitality here. What do you think? Another reason we need to invite people is because there's something real and rich of God to be got in this place. Do you sense it when you come? Only I sense it? Well, friends, whether you enjoy it or not, I enjoy it, and I'll continue to do it. But certainly the Lord is present here today. I can sense God's presence, as some of you can, and not only today, but so often when we get together like this, this is what we experience from our gracious and good God, and today is no exception. Come back with me to our scripture from St. Luke's Gospel 24, a wonderful resurrection story. That Christ is alive means that his saving plan for the world is still in effect. And the text before us tells us of how he came back and he visits his disciples to reassure them that he is indeed alive. He visits them to remind them that their role in his kingdom is still at play. There are three significant lessons from the scripture before us. The Lord comes and he offers them proof that he is alive. That took some doing. The Lord explains his plan for world redemption. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. And the Lord renews his promise that they will receive power from on high to fulfill their mission. The bottom line is their lives would be transformed. And out of that transformation, the world itself would be transformed. So first of all, we see Jesus come into the disciples, 11 of them, they are secluded for fear of the Jews. He enters the room mysteriously, and he shows them that it is he. So, verse 36, they are still talking about the resurrection. And Jesus himself, and not another, came and stood among them with the greeting, "Peace be to you." They are startled. You see it in verse 37? And they are frightened. Why? They saw this man crucified. And crucifixion is something that is fatal and something that is final. You do not walk around after being crucified. For some reason, Jesus has come back, and things are happening in the world that should not happen. A dead man is living, walking, eating. A part of society, let us say. So seeing him, what did they say in verse 37? They say, "It's a ghost. It's a ghost." Have you ever seen a ghost? Anyone here? You can raise your hand. No one here seen a ghost? Now, Jesus does not say there is no such thing as a ghost. Jesus speaks as though ghosts do exist. He said to them, "Ghosts do not have flesh and bones as you see me have." Implication is, ghosts are other beings. They're not like me. They're not like you. So it speaks to the kind of body he came back with. It was soft. It was hard. Flesh and bones, he said, he had after his resurrection. So he is telling them, "I am not a ghost. Just look at me. This is my body. Here are my hands. Here are my feet. It's all of me." But you notice from the text, verse 41, while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" So he is there, flesh and bones, talking to them, but still they don't believe it. Jesus accommodates their doubt. How? For those among them who must touch and feel, remember the case of Thomas, Jesus would say, "Touch me." The kinesthetic type, "Put your fingers here, Thomas. Touch and see. It is I." For those who must see in order to believe, Jesus will say, "Look at my hands. They are the nail prints. I am not a ghost." There are so many who would like to dismiss the resurrection story as a ghost story. Incidentally, I think it was 2003, a poll of adults in America revealed that over 50% of adults believe in the existence of ghosts and demons. So many would like to say, this is just a ghost story. He wasn't for real. Jesus says, "Touch my hands, touch my feet, you may know me." So what is the lesson here, friends? To those who wonder whether Jesus is real, to those who doubt whether he rose from the dead, he comes and he says, "It is I. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Give me something to eat. I'll prove to you I am every bit real. And the message for us, therefore, is if you're here today and you wonder whether God is real, you wonder whether Jesus really came back from the dead, you wonder whether this gospel is true or not, I say to you, come near to God as we do in our prayer time. Listen to God's voice. God would speak to you. Open your eyes. He would reveal himself to you. Open your heart, he would come in. What am I saying? For those of us who struggle to know whether God is real and whether Jesus did rise from the dead, he would come to us even today in a service like this and say something to our hearts that make us believe he is indeed alive. A couple of years ago, I met with a candidate for ministry. And given my values about preaching, friends, and pastoring and the ministry, I feel I owe the church to do my best to make sure that no more get in that should never be in. So I asked him about his relationship with the Lord. He told me that he knows the Lord, and the Lord has spoken to him, and the Lord has called him to preach. So I said to him, well, tell me how that happened. What did you hear? Did you really hear God or heard another part of yourself speaking to you? What did you really hear? What really happened in your life that you would tell me God spoke to you and God called you to preach? He went on and he spoke the language of faith. I must confess, friends, it's a language only people of faith understands. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's like me speaking German to you and you don't know German. You don't understand. You'll never get it. He spoke the language of faith, the language that a person of faith would understand. And he spoke about how he would get impressions in his soul. He would get messages that he knows he doesn't receive with a natural ear. He would have experiences in his heart that he knows are from above. And the more he spoke, the more I understood that language, because it was the very language that my heart spoke when I was called. What am I saying? The Lord comes to us. You may not experience God the same way, but he will come to you. So as you sit here today, be open. Be open. Be ready. He speaks. He came to them and he established proof. This is my body. I'm alive. Is he alive to you? Amen. Don't we sing, he walks with me and talks with me? Don't we sing that? It's true. But he moves on. And he tells them, basically, it is more than showing you that I am here. This is proof of my resurrection. Now, this is the plan. This is the program. The text goes on. He says to them in verse 44, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. This is powerful stuff. I wish I could teach it rather than preach on it. Everything the scriptures said about me must be fulfilled. And what are the scriptures here? The Old Testament. The Old Testament was the Bible of Jesus and the apostles. And you have the three main divisions of the Hebrew Old Testament here. The law, the Torah, the prophets, the Nevi'im, the writings, the Ketuvim. The three big divisions of the Hebrew Old Testament. He says, the entire Old Testament spoke about me. And what it said about me, I have come to fulfill. Now these men read that Old Testament, but guess what? They never understood it. They never understood it. If not, they would not have doubted he was the Messiah of Israel. And what is it they did not understand? They did not understand how the Messiah of Israel would suffer and die. They thought the Messiah of Israel will come as king and sit on a throne. He opened their minds so that they would understand what Messiah must suffer, die, before he enters his glory and sits on his throne. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So I ask you today, What is there in the Bible that you do not understand? What doctrine? What teaching? What is there in the Bible that bothers you? What is there in the scriptures that you cannot accept? What is there in the Word of God that your secular mind cannot receive? You need to come to God and say, Lord, just like the book here, open my mind so that I would understand the scriptures. Open my mind. We talk about closed-minded people. Yeah, closed-minded people. We don't believe that God could do this. We don't believe that God could do that. We say we are Christians, but we say some things are impossible for the Lord to do. The Lord opened their minds. You would never know the big weight that was lifted from my life when, as a preacher, I finally got it, that I can't open anybody's mind. You know what I mean? I can't make any of you believe anything. Can't do it. The Lord must do it. He opened their minds. And so if your mind needs to be opened today to understand the scriptures, it will take power from on high. I can't do it. If you struggle to believe the Word of God, if you're inclined to shut God out, if you're inclined to silence the preacher or silence the scripture, I don't want to hear that. I don't believe in that. You got a problem. The Lord must open our minds. These men didn't believe. Minds closed. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And then moving forward, he says to them, verse 46, this is what it is: Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Verse 47, now, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're my witnesses. This is the plan. Jesus died, Jesus rose. It doesn't end here, friends. It doesn't end here. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins is to be preached in his name to all nations. I think that should be repeated. Why did Jesus die? Why the resurrection? That repentance for the forgiveness of sins be preached. We don't like preaching, huh? Preached in his name. There's a lot of preaching that's not in his name. To all nations. And here, my friends, is the essence of our mission as a church. Our mission is to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I understand the dangerous waters I could get into here. I understand the sharp knives that could come out for a preacher's throat when he touches a scripture like this. But since when are preachers afraid to tell the truth? You ever know a preacher was afraid to tell the truth? So what are we to do in this place as a church? What's our mission in this town? There is the social gospel. Many of our churches, it has just come down to helping the poor. Jesus did that, nothing wrong with it. It comes down to feeding the hungry. Jesus did that, there's nothing wrong with it. It comes down to visiting the sick. Jesus did that. I do it too. There's nothing wrong with it. It comes down to justice. Oh, Jesus was for justice. There's nothing wrong with it. But Jesus suffered, bled, and died so that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in all the world. That's why he died, not to feed the hungry, not to clothe the naked, not to visit the sick. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Why is this so important? Well, we're all on the wrong road in life. We need to turn around and come back to God. That is repentance. Forgiveness of sins. Why do we need that? We have all broken God's law. We stand guilty before God as sinners. We need to be forgiven. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of repentance and forgiveness for all people. It is to be preached in his name. To all people. That's the mission. That's the plan. We celebrate resurrection, friends, but this is what it calls us to do. Preach a new gospel. The question, therefore, for your life and my life today is, have we repented? Have we been forgiven? Do we know the Lord? Ernest Hemingway used to tell a story of a father and his teenage son in Spain. They had a falling out. And the young son ran away from home. He was gone for many years, and for all those years, the father's heart would hurt for his son. Finally, the father could take it no more after his years of searching. He went to a local newspaper in Madrid. He took out an ad in it. And the ad simply said to his son, Paco, Paco, dear Paco, meet me in front of the Madrid newspaper office tomorrow at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. Noon the next day, there were 800 young men by the name of Paco who showed up. Why? We want forgiveness. We want reconciliation. We want to come back home to God, to Father in heaven. Repentance and forgiveness. It's the big need of the human race. That's why Jesus died. And Jesus says, this gospel is to be preached. Do all the other stuff, please. Don't get me wrong now. You could do all the other stuff, but preach the gospel of repentance and forgiveness, for people want to get back to God. And he says to them, verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. You're the ones that must go out and preach this word of forgiveness and reconciliation. Some of you may be surprised to know that there are many people in this town, although maybe I shouldn't say that, I'm possibly the only one surprised. There are many people in this town who do not know that this church exists. They do not know that we meet here every morning, Sunday morning at 10:30. We need to let them know. Amen? We need to let them know. Since we were in here today, think of the thousands of people that were born into this world that do not know Jesus saves, that he is alive. We are called to let them know. Jesus is telling them, you are my witnesses of these things. We could take out, publicity ads here and there. We could put up billboards to let people know. They could spend a lot of money here and there getting the name of the church out. But the best, the most effective way is for you and me to meet people in life and say to them, this is what Jesus Christ has done in my life. and he could do the same for you. Repentance and forgiveness of sins must be preached in all the world. You are my witnesses. The fastest way, the best way to build this church, to get the empty pews filled, is for the people of this church, you who are here, to tell others about the Lord. I had a man in my last church. He owned a print shop in town, and one day we were talking about advertising and what other churches are doing, and he pointed out a certain church in town that was very, very successful, growing, and he said to me, "They do not advertise at all. They do not advertise at all." Word of mouth, you are my witnesses. Who are the witnesses? Believers. And what do witnesses do? They simply tell the story. They do not make up their own story. They do not change the story. They do not improve the story. They are not ashamed of the story. The true witnesses simply say, "This is what Jesus has done in my life." He could do the same for you. Some organizations, such as the Joshua Project, that do research on missions around the world, Christian missions, tell us about 41% of people in this world have not yet heard the good news of the gospel. They do not know he came, he suffered, he bled, he died, he arose. Before the disciples could offer any objections to what Jesus said, in verse 49, he said to them, "I'm going to send to you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." In other words, you are my witnesses, but I do not just send you out there on your own. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. That's the mission to all the world. The message of Easter, therefore, friends, brings a burden upon us, an obligation upon us, to tell this good news, to share this story that Christ is alive. This little story I read many years ago of a man who used to collect antiques. And one day he bought a very beautiful Stradivarius violin, and he took it home and he placed it among all of his wonderful collections. But in that town there was a great violinist, the great violinist Fritz Kreisler, who was desirous to own and play a Stradivarius. So he sought the man out and he got a chance to see the violin and to hold it, and he offered to buy this Stradivarius from the collector. And the collector said, "No, it is my prize collection. I'm not selling it." Chrysler's heart was crushed. But before he left, he simply asked, he said, "Can I play the violin just once before it is consigned to eternal silence?" And the man's heart felt it. He said, "All right." And so Chrysler took that violin and he played it. He played it with such heart that that miser's heart was touched. Put it like that. The collector's heart was touched. He began to weep as he heard that music. And when Chrysler was finished, he said to him, "I have no right to keep this for myself. Take it to the world and let the world hear its music." And friends, that is the message here, isn't it? The wonderful message that Christ is alive in our hearts. He lives with me. He walks with me. He talks with me. That glorious message. It's not just to be kept in my heart. It is to be taken to all the world. Because he lives, He gave his best for us. He gave up his life for us. Therefore, let us go to others. We go to others because he came to earth. We will go to them because he died for us. We would live for him. We have no right to keep it to ourselves. Let us take it to the world. Amen. So, gracious God, we hear this word today. It comes to our hearts from your word. And we ask that as you did for the apostles, you will now do for us. Open our hearts so that we would understand the scriptures. So, Lord, where there's doubt, come this day and clarify it for us. Where we have questions, Lord, come and answer them. Lord, where we are not sure, make us certain. Christ is alive. He has come back from the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, even though he or she dies, yet that person shall live. And this gospel of repentance and forgiveness is to be preached in all the world. You are my witnesses. Lord, we hear that command, we hear that call. Help us to accept it. Proclaim to others this wonderful news, this good news of life. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Now let us give our gifts to God.